And we're back roaming with the Buffaloes. We have a few special guests here. Darren Hibbler with Fire Recon and...
Travis Hoffert.
Kurt, you're back. How you feeling?
We're back. We're good. We're back here in our Richmond showroom today. No road show to Dallas. I think we left our mark on that place again.
I'm done with Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. I think with... bar tabs and everything else that's included, we definitely made our presence known, got a lot of deals done, so we're back to action. So got two special guests today, like I said, Darren Hibbler, Travis Hoffert, Fire Reconstruction. Guys, thank y'all for taking the time. Glad we finally
thanks for the invite.
Yeah, happy to be here, definitely.
We're gonna start organically like we do most of the time with guests like y'all. Number one, business relationship. But we want to know more about how the company started, y'all's background in the industry itself for insurance restoration, just for letting our customers know. The insurance restoration work is obviously a big thing in flooring specifically, but just in general in Houston. And so this is kind of a two-part deal is the way we generally explain it when we're telling people about our interactions with people like y'all. One is that we obviously natural disasters, you know, sure, mostly on flood and that stuff from hurricanes and storms and stuff. Obviously the freeze, which isn't normal, but we got that a couple mm-hmm. years ago and y'all battled through that deal. But then it's also the more everyday stuff where our three-year-old stuffs a toilet in the second floor and it goes down or
seen that a lot.
Yeah. So that's been a big deal. You know, those more everyday type of jobs. So yeah, we're going to get into some of that stuff as well. And so obviously that all hits us on the flooring side, which is where part of our relationship starts from the businesses. But I want to get the background on y'all both individually for how y'all started in, how Fire Reconstruction kind of came together. So just starting with each of y'all, Travis, could go first and just kind of where sure. you started on sure. everything.
I actually started in the restoration industry with a company. I believe they're still in business. Don't want to mention any names, but that was back in around 97.
Okay.
As a grunt, you know, I did the demos. I did, you know, picked up the trash. I did all the, you know, the hard stuff, you know, ground floor type stuff. From there, I jumped over to the adjusting side.
Okay.
I tied in with an insurance adjusting firm. They're still in business as well. Again, no names, but ran with them through 99. I believe that is what it was, maybe a little bit past 99, just a hair. Got my adjuster's license. You know, that's where I really cut my teeth into what these policies are about.
Right.
Before that, it was just, you know, construction. So, you know, jump to the insurance side, it gave me the background for the policies. From there, it was another jump back into the restoration side, but this time more of a project management role, you know, overseeing, you know, crews, managing the property or the...
Truly on the construction side of everything.
Yes, yeah. Yes. But again, it was working with the adjusters. That's where it kind of laid the groundwork or foundation for me jumping into what we are today.
Okay.
I think it was around 99, that same insurance firm, and you'll hear this here from him as well, is where I met Darren okay. at. You know, we were both at the same location, you know, both, you know, cut our teeth on that same policy right. information stuff. From the restoration side, we jumped into the business around 03 okay. Is when we opened the doors with Fire Reconstruction. And not to make this Debbie Downer type stuff, but it was because we came from a restoration company that did not do it well, you know, treat the customer.
But that is the way you learn a lot of those things as well.
Yes, and that's when we vowed together, hey, we're not doing it this way.
Right.
We're going to set everything by the right example.
Right.
And to this day, I mean, that was 03 to present.
Right, 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years. Yep. It, last year, yeah, yeah. 21
that's
will
right.
be this June.
So. That. Awesome. Awesome. So you had the military background. Were you military also?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes,
that,
sir.
Yeah. Then we're going to get into that as well. So military background. So what, and I guess you started out as a grunt. You start out the same way, Darren, on your side?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah. 100%. So a little background on myself and company where we came from. About the same time frame, actually. 96, 97 is when I got into the business. Went to work as a grunt
yeah.
in the business. I'd always been in construction in some way or form kind of all my life. My dad always taught me construction, so forth and so on.
Okay.
And tell you the truth, I came from selling boats.
Really?
That's exactly nice. How I
boat seller.
Worked for an old company that used to be over off Bingle. And man, still friends with those guys till today. And I came home one day and told my wife, you know what, I need to figure out something to make some money. I had kids on the way.
Yeah.
And said, let's see what I can do.
Yeah.
Went to interview for a company where actually we had met at. Mm-hmm. After trying several things on my own, so forth and so on. Right. Actually was in business with my cousin for a little while early in a construction company, and got my adjuster's license with that company, and actually started learning the whole insurance restoration side of things. Actually went to adjuster school with Travis.
Yeah.
And
but that was hell for that teacher.
And let me tell you this, it was an absolute. It's kind of funny because funny story.
I was wondering if you're going to tell the story.
I was wondering
what we're here for.
I was wondering.
So we're sitting in class, and of course we're not young men now, but we were young men back then, and there was a couple young ladies sitting in front of us, and so Travis and I are. And I'm married at this time, so I'm just playing wingman, trying to hook my buddy up.
Nice guy. Didn't need any help.
Yeah.
Didn't need any help. Man.
Well, to make a long story short, the girl that was sitting right in front of us to the right is now Travis's wife.
Yeah.
Oh.
True story.
I never heard that story.
True story.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I knew Darren longer than my wife, but yeah, he was there when we met.
There's kind of a running joke that I always mess with him, which – there's no truth to it, but it's still funny. You know, that he's lucky I was engaged. I was married.
As he said, there's no truth to that.
And we both know how far you've outkicked your coverage. So I can attest to that. Both guys are doing really well on that side, and they have married up, and they're being taken care of, which is why they're still moving around here today.
That's so true.
Wouldn't be here
that's
without
true.
Them.
That's
true. Well, okay, so then she was in the same line of business then.
Yes, and okay, she's still in the same thing today.
Okay, so Elaine was there doing the same thing. Mm-hmm.
Her adjuster's license as well, yeah.
Got it. Cool. Yes.
And she works for Fire Recon?
No. She
would never.
No, they're still married.
Oh. Okay. That's
a good point.
Well, his wife works here, which is what's got him on skates most of the time. So.
Yeah. My hat's off to you, man.
Yeah. Oh,
man.
Yeah. Office manager coming down, breathing down your neck every day.
Every day.
It's well deserved.
No escape.
It really is.
So, obviously, the small business side is something that obviously is close to our hearts, and that's y'all fit the same mold. But when you started off, you know, it was y'all and you had one other person with y'all to start off with, or was it just y'all two? Or
so when we started, actually what happened, we had worked all for the same company for a while. They were actually one of the largest restoration companies in Houston, and literally got a knock on the door one day. They came in and said, hey, we're shutting the doors.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's some background to that, but I'm going to leave all that out.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, that's sad story stuff.
So a couple of weeks went by, and I went from a really good job that I had thinking, hey, I'll probably be here the rest of my life.
Right.
To what am I going to do?
Right.
And picked up the phone and called Travis, Tommy, and Dave.
Okay.
And Dave, and you know Dave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And said, hey guys, I think we can do this on our own. Mm. And that's how Fire Reconstruction started.
It was founded at a Fuddruckers table.
Yes, fantastic. It was.
Yeah. Fuddruckers is a great place.
Why not?
Oh man, I haven't had Fuddruckers in
the
a while.
The 290 and Bingle one?
Well, they're getting rid of them.
I believe it was.
It was.
Yeah.
They're getting rid of them. That's a bad deal.
Are they?
There's a really good one right over here off of Kirby, and they shut it down.
I just remember leaving the casino smashed in New Orleans and stopping at that Fuddruckers that's open late.
Oh, yeah.
I had cheese sauce all over me. Everyone's wondering where I was.
So there's a plug for Fuddruckers.
Yeah. Actually, we need to call them.
If it gets them back on, I'm good with that.
Cheese sauce.
I had a conversation with our Texans owner over there one day when he was sitting there having lunch sitting at the table next to me. So
all good businesses start with Fuddruckers.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
All right, so we'll take that check. Hopefully it'll be coming. So we'll split that. See
what royalties. Yeah. I need to plug it on the next.
See where that'll get us. So the we're going to, like, specifically when y'all started, y'all where were y'all at? Were y'all just working remotely? Were y'all in an office somewhere? Or how did y'all start that part?
So our first office, I've got a brother-in-law, and so I have two sisters, but my youngest sister, which is quite a bit older than I am, they're pretty successful. So I called my brother-in-law and said, hey, we're thinking about starting this business. Got some pointers, and he owned an office building. right over there, South Post Oak, by the old Houston Chronicle.
Yeah.
And said, hey, you guys can use this office for a little while. It was
specify office.
Yeah. It was literally an 8x8 thing, and we had lawn chairs, a plastic folding table, and a copier about the size of this conference table that Dave brought over.
It was more of a closet.
Yeah. I was going to say, it sounds like a closet.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It was that's where we started.
That's exactly where we started.
Literally. And then we were there, what, 4, 5, 6 months?
Yeah.
And finally went, did a few jobs, you know, put a little money in the bank and went and leased a place that wasn't much better. It did have a warehouse, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was 12 by 20 was our whole office, and our warehouse was about 400 square feet.
West Little York, yep.
Had one bathroom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And man, let me tell you, three or four guys.
In you don't want to be there after lunch.
10 by 20 office.
Don't be there after Taco Tuesday.
Find you a job to go look at.
Yeah.
And I know you can't see me right now, but I'm sitting about 8 inches away from Travis doing this, and that's about how far the bathroom door was from my desk. It was not a pretty situation.
Yeah. No.
So, but we were there quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we were there for
6-7 years.
It may have been just a little bit longer, because I think our 9-year mark, 10-year mark is when Jeff came aboard.
That's true.
So he was there right there.
I remember when Jeff came aboard. We won't tell those stories.
Yeah. Well, that's a shout out to Jeff.
I certainly remember when that happened.
Yeah, so that wasn't the best way to start.
No. And obviously now the new facility off 290 and basically Telge is right behind Carl's Barbecue, one of our favorites.
Yes.
And obviously we've growing, and just like with any other small business, you know, you keep the small feel, but you're going to grow. I mean, it does work both ways. We've got, you know, what we started here, my grandfather, you know, basically in their garage and starting from that part and building up and, you know, like this is y'all's first time here and y'all seen, you know, our other
beautiful place,
you know, which we've continued to grow, and we've grown together into this company and how it is now, but it's still basically with the same type of feel that we want to have with a small group. But y'all's staff and y'all's full facility now, obviously coming from the humble beginnings is what it's all about, but what y'all have got now, it's a gorgeous building. I got to tour it with Darren about a month or two ago and see everything. Tell us about the whole staff now.
So we pretty much have close to 44, 45 employees that are on payroll that are our everyday staff. And, of course, we have lots of contract labor and that type of stuff that do, you know, some type repairs, but a lot of in-house stuff also.
Right.
But, man, we have everything now from secretaries who answer the phone to file managers who take care of the customer every step of the way.
Right.
We have 7 different project managers that are zoned to different parts of the city and surrounding areas that take care of all our projects. We have 4 estimators that go out and write all our estimates for the insurance companies. We have a whole contents division now,
right,
where we take care of, for instance, if there's a fire or a water damage and there's substantial repairs that have to be done, we come in, we either pack out the furniture, clean it, take it back to our facility, store it, hold it until the repairs are done, and bring it back. So we pretty much do everything in the restoration business from A to Z.
Right.
And it's like I say, it's been a 20 years of growing pains, but we're blessed.
And to add to that, this is just recently, probably about a year now, we brought on a design consultant, I guess you could say. Coordinating, you know, selections, whether it be paint, tiles, that's helped tremendously. Selections is one of the hardest parts about this industry.
Is that something that other competitors or companies are doing? Because I've never heard of the content or even the design time.
There's other companies out there, but a lot of people don't do A to Z. A lot of them we either do the contents remediation side and then do the structure, you know, separately.
Yeah.
And there's a few out there, but I like to say
I think that's like the whole idea of that A to Z thing. That's always been our deal is when you have, you know, whichever one of the people on the sales team is who physically meets you to go out there and shows you samples and does all that.
Well, to boot on that, and not to give away too many, you know, secrets of success, we are working owners.
Correct.
We're not. 100%. We don't have our feet kicked up.
Correct. Yeah, that's true.
Other than today doing a podcast, which is new for us. we're boots on the ground, right there with our PMs, right there with our estimators, right there with our sales guys.
Right.
I mean, we're not hiding behind a desk.
No, and I think that was, you know, so to kind of peel the curtain back, just where our relationship started and everything, just so our customers and listeners know. So Darren and I met, which will be no surprise to most people that do listen to this deal, through baseball. And I was coaching his son back when Mason was about 12 or 13, somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. And was given hitting lessons, and we just kind of started talking about what each other does. And obviously there was a connection there off the get-go, not just on the baseball side, but just on where the company came from, how y'all operated. That whole A to Z thing was the same thing we did. And so when we started talking about stuff, it made a lot of sense from the get-go. And as relationships grow, and I met Travis very shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. And now I get to see him on Sundays when I have to cross body check him in the communion line on the way in. So
yeah, I see him at church.
Had to bump him around. We were both praying for Darren. So
y'all need to sometimes.
There you go.
I think we all need to spread them for each other if we're all being honest. It's simple. Like the same minded aspect of what the work at. I was raised a certain way to do stuff. Y'all were raised the same way. You run your company that way. And we've tried to do that the same way with ours. But that whole interaction all the way through, I think, puts customers at ease when they know that they can get to, you know, the decision makers, so that if something else needs to happen, because, you know, unfortunately, and I don't like this aspect of it, and I know y'all don't either because we've talked about it, but there are particular customers in some cases who only feel comfortable if they're talking to the person who's got the best title on the business card.
100%.
And, and in those situations, you can't be a guy that just comes in and occasionally gets involved. You've got to be part of the whole process of everything and understand the ebb and flow of how a project starts, what's going on with it, what's gone right, what maybe hasn't, and that way you can solve the problems and get to the end. If y'all are, like what Travis said, if y'all were just the kind of company where you're sitting there with your feet up on the desk, you have no understanding of what's physically going on the job site and how to fix it. But y'all have already done those things coming from where y'all started from.
Correct.
That's what makes a lot of that stuff work. Like, you know, I did, you know, demos and pickups and deliveries and all the warehouse stuff and everything when I was in high school and college trying to figure out more so. I mean, you're understanding what's going on, but you're also understanding the first part of people interaction.
100%.
What y'all do now.
Well, and that's why, you know, we have the utmost respect for all of our employees, because giving back to what Darren said, our first office was, even our second office was, we answered the phones.
Yeah.
Yep. We made the calls. We wrote the estimates. We ran the projects.
Right.
We didn't have people under us. It was us.
Yeah.
That was it. So every aspect of this industry or this company that we have employees for, we did those roles.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're no strangers to it, so why stop now?
Down to painting and sheetrock and demo.
Everything.
And stuff like that.
Physical labor, yes.
Right.
Back in the day.
You know, when our company started with my grandfather and my dad and uncles, when they were doing that stuff, I mean, my dad was installing.
Yeah.
You know, my uncle was installing. They were doing the demos and all that kind of stuff. And it just gives you a different perspective. But it also, I think for y'all, the one thing that I've always appreciated in projects that we've worked on together is y'all's interaction with your people whose boots are on the ground, on the job sites and stuff. We have customers that do what y'all do that we see a tiered system where the people that are actually making decisions about stuff never set foot on a job site, never speak with that homeowner, never do any of these small things to keep the process going. And so when something happens, it kind of gets kind of squirrely because, you know, you're having to talk to four different people instead of one person that can go in there and help out the situation.
We go through every week a process with all our jobs, and we usually keep 40 to 60 jobs running at all times.
Right.
Now. And Travis actually meets with the project managers weekly.
Okay.
And goes through every single project we have, every single detail going on with it, updates the customers. We even implemented.
I love those meetings, by the way.
I know he does.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
It went from being on Thursdays to now it's on Wednesday and Thursdays as we grow, and it takes up day long to go over every single project. Yeah. We implemented several months back to a young lady that all she does is make phone calls to the customers for us every week, and The only thing we want her to do is call them and say, hey, my name's so-and-so with Fire Reconstruction. I want to see how your job's going and let me know. And the reason we did that, because these project managers that we have that are running these projects for us usually get some kind of relationships with the customers.
Right.
And sometimes the customers feel like they can't express everything to them because they don't want to hurt their feelings. Right. They don't want to do this.
It might be intimidated.
100%, yeah. Man. And it has increased our customer service so much more because they'll tell her things that they won't tell us. And we can head it off at the pass before it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
And I think probably some of the best money we ever spent was that. And it's cut down.
My wheels are turning because there's a young lady sitting right over there that would serve that role very, very well along with her existing responsibilities.
We've talked about it for years, and we finally put it into place this year, and it's been a game changer.
Well, because everybody preaches customer service. I don't care what company you're talking about.
But that's focused. If you're calling
to find out the details of what the problem is prior to it being a fire or an issue, helped tremendously.
It's a great idea. Something that will be something that goes
on that
our discussion.
Hey, we copyrighted that, man.
Is that IP? Is that IP?
We'll work that into one of our quotes somewhere. So here, the reality is, y'all, in your line of business, is one that it's an ironic deal because people really don't want to do business with y'all because that means something's happened, and that's the fact. And in a lot of cases, we're the same way because we deal with a bunch of this, you know, in a lot of different capacities, both residentially and commercially. When these things happen, people really don't want to have a relationship with y'all.
That's what I've always said, that if you meet me, something's bad happened.
That's right. And that's a weird way to start business, but that is the nature of what y'all do. So when you go in from an initial deal, and this is what, you know, the biggest thing, and I know we've talked about it in several different occasions, and I still call Darren about it when we get questions about this stuff from time to time. People don't know what to do when these things happen. Yep. Even if it's a small deal with a sink leaking and it's caused some damage or whatever, you've got a faction of people that are hesitant to even call their insurance company because they're scared to death that they're going to have to do something and pay their deductible and do whatever.
Yep.
And you have some people that are, you know, basically just mentally it just overwhelms them when they have to think about what they're fixing to go through. So there's never just a good introduction for y'all to come into a job.
No.
But what I'd like to, you know, because like we talked about, you've got your hurricanes, which, you know, we don't want to have happen when it does. That's what we're here for, just like y'all. And we have all those situations, but we do have, you know, the second floor sink that gets clogged up or toilet that gets clogged up or the dishwasher that fires off everywhere. We just caught our washing machine a couple weeks ago, probably ahead of about to have a major situation. But people physically don't know, in most cases, how they do that. So what I want y'all to kind of go through is, okay, I'm, you know, Joe and Susie homeowner that live, you know, here close to us over in West U, and in my second floor, my toddler has stuffed the sink up. And we left the house and we came back and we've got 6 inches of water in it. Now what happens?
You want to take that or me? Okay.
I see you got some stuff written down there. I'll let you go.
Let me back up just a hair. You made a good point about hurricane season and everything coming up. We just rounded the corner the first of the year. Take a look at your policies. You know, look at your deductibles. You know, look at your policy limits. Your policy limits are probably going to increase because of inflation and everything else. So that's, you know, for a different story, different time.
Right.
To your point about the water loss, you have an obligation per your policy to mitigate your damage.
Okay.
So the first thing you want to do is, given the situation with the toddler, is stop the water. Right. I don't care if you turn it off at the valve, at the street, at the house, however you do, shut it down. You know, second thing you want to do is try and clean up what you can.
Right.
In the event of that, that may be manageable.
Furniture, valuables, anything that you can get your hands on, essentially, right?
Yeah, get that off the floor, get it out of the way, you know, trying to mitigate what you can, you know, run towels or whatever. Again, I'm using your scenario for the toddler. Contact a plumber if need be. Maybe you have to do some mitigation with, you know, snaking it or getting the clog undone. If it is a large enough claim, and it's hard to justify that, but let's say for your example, it's a two-story house, and you saw a couple drips coming through there, so you know it got more than just around the toilet.
Right.
That's when you'll contact your insurance company. I kind of break it down for the first 24 hours.
Okay.
First thing you're going to want to do, whether in the event of a large fire or water loss, is mitigate.
Right.
You're going to call the fire department.
Right.
That's first and foremost.
Right.
Or you're going to at least shut the water off.
Right.
Let's stop it from running.
And just to add to that, just a hair is, it actually even states in your policy that it is your responsibility to mitigate a claim. So, a lot of people don't know that.
And that's in every policy, no matter what, correct?
Every policy.
Now, when you guys you're just talking mitigate, turn water off, do the basic stuff, right?
Yeah, just do what you can. A lot of homeowners are hemmed up with what their capabilities are.
Yeah.
But there are definitely things you can do to help. If you've got water on your floor, get the stuff off the floor.
Okay.
That type stuff. So your policy actually has that language in it.
We had an insurance agent that refers us things here and there. And he's been doing it he's probably been doing it 50 plus years. He's an older gentleman. He actually his son's a coach that I know, but he had made a deal. They had a problem at his own house. He's like, of all things, I got to deal with this on my own house. But what they had done is, and he had started telling homeowners this, is that once a year, especially now with these little things that we have attached to us all the time, get your phone out and take a video of every single room in the house.
Great idea.
Yeah.
And just file it into your phone so you can document what you have, and that way if something were to happen, there's irrefutable evidence that you've got certain things in certain spots, and it can be dealt with from that standpoint. So you've kind of got that in your pocket to when, I'm guessing, the next step starts to happen with y'all.
Well, exactly. Well, even that goes back to my statement before this with your policy.
Right.
You're documenting what you had. In that event, especially documenting what you have, that works best for, let's say it's a vandalism or a break-in or something like that, because you have to prove you had a Rolex. You can't just say you had one.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
But that first 24 hours is more, online with, mitigating, stopping what was happening, whether it's calling the fire department to get them out there, or calling, or shutting off the water.
Right.
Once you surpass that, and in the event maybe it busted out the sheetrock and started getting the first floor all, wet, you're obviously going to want to hire a restoration company to not only assess the damage of what's taking place, but to help salvage what you can.
Right.
There are some items that you can clean. You don't have to throw away everything.
Yeah.
And plug for y'all on this deal now with the new facility where y'all are able to bring all that stuff into your place.
That's interesting.
And this is the other, so there are companies that truly just go in and do the mitigation, they're done, correct?
Yes.
That's all they do.
Yes.
And I'm not, again, we're not mentioning names, but there are some out there, and everybody, they're pretty recognizable that people know.
Yes.
That just do that. But y'all are an A to Z deal. You do the whole thing. And now with the, and I think what we'll end up doing, Dylan, if you'll remind me of this too, we'll get some pictures of their warehouse and facility and stuff. So when we post all this, people can see exactly what we're talking about with these crates.
That'd be awesome.
100%.
Because Darren described how they got all these crates from, where was the people that got you the crates for storage?
Yeah, we had to actually search out. They're actually hard to find.
Out of Nebraska? And, where'd you?
They some of them came from Nebraska. Some of them came from, I think, Illinois.
Yeah.
And we had to ship them in, and they're... we've got a 20,000 square foot warehouse that
so all this stuff is basically being held in there,
like in a custom crate.
Custom crates,
huge.
Yeah,
and they're stacked.
They're
as
actually
high
called
as
vaults.
What's that?
The proper name for them is called vaults.
Vaults.
Yeah. And once the stuff's cleaned, we store them and pack them organized in the vaults. Everything's labeled so we know what's in there.
Yeah.
If the customer called and said, "Hey, I need," I left my book that I need to keep reading, this kind of stuff in there, we know exactly where it is. We can get it and have them come in and get
that's
it.
That's awesome.
That's interesting. I did not know that they did that.
So that's all. This is, again, another plug for if you're ever in the situation to call these guys, because that's something that they've got there on site at the facility. So now we're getting to that point where y'all are taking stuff out of the house.
Correct.
You're helping with that. We've already called fire reconstruction.
Okay, well, you did the right thing.
You're on site.
That's all you got to worry about right there.
There you go.
Once we're involved in it, you know, this goes back to our conversation earlier. You're not just a number. I mean, you're our true customer. Yeah. So we're going to have an estimator looking at the house and the damages, and we're going to have a content specialist looking at the furnitures and those items, and we're going to have a water mitigation team, you know, drying everything out. So you've got an army behind you.
Right.
You're not in this alone. That's one of the things with the fire loss or even a water damage, a typical toilet overflow. It's these customers feel alone.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have anybody to compare it to. In a flood situation, you got the whole neighborhood to lean on.
Right.
Everybody's going through the same stuff. But on these losses, they feel they're alone. That's they don't true. Have to be. They have companies like us out there that can satisfy their need and back
There's
them
no
up.
Other companies, Travis. Well, it's just y'all.
I know. I'm just being fair.
This is a plug for you today.
I got you.
Nobody does it like Fire Recon. Nobody does it like Buffalo.
Fire Recon's a baby.
I really do. You know, I do appreciate our customers. I mean, that's why, you know, even if I can't help them, I want to lead them in the right direction. One way or the other.
I think, you know, that the step-by-step stuff is what, and I think most everybody, it starts with the policy itself. There's misunderstanding on that part, and we actually talked about that with Gene Johnson a couple weeks ago, because that's what he's doing now with the lending and stuff, talking about what actual policies look like after you've bought a house, and you know what you actually have in that policy. You know, once you've
and they're changing
in everything. Well, exactly.
One thing we got away from, and not all of us, I'm sure there's still some out there that do. We used to know our agent by a first name.
Yeah,
we've kind of gotten away from that. You know, a lot
internet stuff,
1-800 numbers,
where you're checking boxes when you buy your insurance coverage.
Right.
My suggestion is, you know, for all your listeners out there, is to find out that claims 1-800 number and put that in your phone. Hopefully, you never need it.
True. Yeah.
But if you do, it's right there.
Yeah.
You know, that way you can file your claim, and then you've got companies like Fire Reconstruction out there backing you up every step of the way.
Right. Well, and that's another important aspect to it. When the actual work starts going too, is we have relationships with, you know, not just the customer, but with the insurance companies also sometimes, that we can call and ask questions to make sure we're not going to do work that's not covered by their insurance, because that's the last thing I want to happen
right now. You
guys are touching base on all my questions.
That's so important, because if we just go in there and head up, you know, 100 miles an hour, just start doing everything without approval, without speaking to the adjuster to make sure there is coverage for these items, we put that customer in a bad situation. So we have that knowledge and those relationships that we can make sure this process goes smooth. You know, we'll get approval to do certain things before we do it. And also, you got to be careful. If it's a large loss where there's a, let's say it was a fire in the home, and you've got a lot of contents in the house, and they only have a certain amount of coverage on that, you don't want to go out there and possibly clean everything when it's going to be totaled. You have to walk that line to make sure they're getting the most bang for their buck and they're being taken care of.
Right.
And that's something we do. We even have another thing, too, that comes up all the time. Claim gets settled. The insurance company sends a check to the homeowner. The homeowner calls us and goes, well, what do I do with this? Because most of the time there's a mortgage company on it also.
Right.
We have ladies in our office that will help them with every step of the way through the mortgage company, because there's all kind of release of liens and everything else that we have to deal with. And our ladies do a phenomenal job at that.
I mean, we even have some that we have to get involved in and sign as well when they're part of situations like this from time to time. That the deal that you were kind of getting into, and I know it's the one that people have a lot of questions on, is when we start talking about the value of things that are in the house.
Yes.
So that's not just the furniture, contents, that kind of stuff. But you get into the true parts of, hey, I had 6-inch baseboards, and I had, I had, you know, for us,
light
obviously,
fixtures, on
the fixtures, the plumbing, all that stuff. But for us, it's the floors. And so, I mean, I can tell you point blank, I learned a large amount of what I know about working with all of our insurance companies based on our early stuff, working with both of y'all, and actually working through those reports. And let me tell you, if y'all have never gone through this, I don't want you to, but if you do, when that first report comes back, it's going to blow your mind because it is pages and pages and pages and pages, and it's not going to make sense. Mm-hmm. It's not going to, because the way that those adjusters go out and report everything and how they document it all.
Everything has to be documented.
Exactly. And so, and then the thing that always got me when I first started looking at those with y'all was the way that they did their measurements is different than we would normally do stuff for, like when we're doing a flooring estimate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to kind of adjust the way my brain was looking at what they were providing. And then I would always do my own measurement just so we could compare everything. But those are the type of things that, you know, when you buy something to add to your house, like if you go in and get all new floors, you know what they cost, whatever, and you did it 2 years ago, by all means, save the receipt. If you bought a new refrigerator, save the receipt. You know, all these type of things that you would have from contents to just keep in a file somewhere is worth everything in the event that this
unfortunately does
happen. Yes. Because our part on this thing, and I think we were very successful, and as we're getting things going with y'all's deal in Bryan and College Station, which we'll get to in a little bit, is really trying to watch closely on what the ITEL reporting system values flooring. You know, what they put on that number. Mm-hmm. And we've gone through some where we've debated that because we felt it was incorrect. And to be fair, I've also seen some where I'm like, man, that's a really good price.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't want to say anything at this point. Maybe go fight about the baseboards or the countertops or something else like that, because you did get awarded very well. So when y'all get those initial reports, is it y'all that are going, like you two going through that, or y'all have other people y'all are working with to go through that to make sure that the values are matching?
We do have the estimators going through that. I mean, like I say, we are departmentalized to that extreme where we have an estimator, PM. They're two separate individuals. Mm-hmm. So they're going to validate, you know, any kind of discrepancies in the ITEL report or discrepancies in the estimate.
Explain the ITEL deal real quick, just so people know what that is.
It's a scientific method. You'll take a sample. It should be a 1 foot square, and I'm giving carpeting as an example. You'll cut a 1 foot square out of the carpet material and the pad, you'll put it in an envelope and send it off to these scientists that stick it under a microscope, look at the fibers, look at the density, look at the backing, look at all that, and determine, based on their observation, it shows that this is they'll give you like three examples, a Shaw product, an adjusted.
They evaluate it.
Well, cost for, you know, today's cost.
What they feel like it should be.
Correct.
You miss the part where they throw the darts to guess the price on it?
Well, it's actually a wheel that they spin.
Exactly. Price is
and
right.
It usually hits low. Now, I mean, to be fair, like on the last ones that we've gone through, and, you know, so we have a cool interaction type deal, but one of our biggest clients has a close friend who had a loss, and she came to me, which I then turned over to y'all. And when we went through that report the first time, and she came to me and she's like, I don't know what any of this means, blah, blah, blah. She goes, I don't think they gave us enough. And I started reading it and I called her. I was like, I think they did. I said, and I'll be honest with you, on the wood floor, I think they gave you a really, really good price, because wood floor, like on solid wood floors, the prices fluctuate basically like concrete prices do. If you catch it at the right spot, it helps you out. And they did a great job on that part. And she's ended up making this work really well in a bad situation. But, you know, in some cases, they're not always out to get you. We always think that.
Yeah, and this is no knock on ITEL by any means. I mean, ITEL has its place in this industry.
No, there's no getting around having to have it. It's like fighting.
When it's in your
it's
favor.
It's like arguing with your wife. When you want to pick your battles about what you want to fight with on
exactly
this.
Well, and if you really want to get nitpicky, there's two methods to ITEL. There's a mobile app that they utilize, and then you can mail it in, as I was telling you.
Yep.
You know, to me, the mail-in is more accurate because they actually physically touch it and see it versus off of whatever pictures you send them. But I've seen, you know, both of them come back good, both of them come back bad. So it's still a gamble.
Right. But, it's truly an estimate.
It really is.
And that's the key word. It's an estimate.
Yeah.
That's where guys like Buffalo come in and where we come in, where if we look at it, and we've done enough jobs to know, that's close or that's wrong.
Right. Yeah.
And then all you do is you document, you get the documentation of actually how much that flooring was, and you supplement and send it into the insurance company. And we take care of all that also.
We've got one that we're working on right now. And this is an old existing client I've known for years. I did work for her parents and her husband, and her husband have done several projects with us. They had a deal, and they have a neighbor that does what y'all do that's working on the job. And so we all went and did our initial takeoff on everything, did the measurements, solid wood floor, blah, blah, blah. Well, lo and behold, they get in there and start doing some of the initial work, start taking the floor out, and they find out that the subfloor in the house actually has two complete levels of 3/4-inch plywood underneath there.
Oh, wow.
I hadn't seen that. It wasn't in my bid. Wasn't in his bid. Wasn't in the adjuster's. I mean, there's no way to physically know. And we start looking at all this stuff, and we're like, okay, that's a whole nother avenue of construction that's going to come in from those guys to get the ready for us to even put floors down. And so she had already agreed on everything with the insurance company. Everybody was happy until they started doing the stuff. And she was like, I don't know what to do. I mean, how do we go back through this? And we're like, okay, we're going to reevaluate it. We're going to put the value of that extra cost in there of what it's going to be, and then he's going to send all that stuff back. And they had the supplement done in probably, I would say, about 10 days or so.
And this is normal.
And she got awarded grade on it. Yeah. Everything was good. Yeah. So
supplements usually scare insureds.
It scared them. And that's what I was getting to. That's a tough part that people ask about a lot of times. If that happens,
what you talked about right there is what the industry calls hidden items. It's right. Not that they're really hiding. It's just until you actually do the demo to see what's behind that sheetrock or what's behind that floor. That's when you open it up to open up for supplements. Yeah, it happens all the time.
Supplements are a part of the insurance process, and people should not be afraid of them. Matter of fact, that's probably one of the most common calls we get when the people do receive the check for the first settlement.
Right.
And they say, hey, I'm afraid to sign this because I know this is missing.
I don't know if I'm going to need more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you actually have time frames to get supplements in.
Okay.
And you have, I think it's 6 months, and then you can go up to a year and even go longer than that if you need to make supplements. So
they told us a year.
Yeah. Don't let it scare you when it comes to supplements.
Keep this in mind, too. The insurance carriers, the insurance adjusters, they don't pay for what ifs. Okay, so right. I mean, until you can physically show that there is something there or there is something damaged, that's when it's actually in play. Right. You know, what ifs don't count.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just like, you know, we're relating this all from the flooring side because we get so much of it, but the horror stories of things that people hear online about going through these experiences with companies like y'all's is what makes us strive to make sure that we're not part of that one that's being talked about in that negative way. Like, it's construction. Things are going to happen. Nobody's perfect. But in the grand scheme of things, there's just been a lot of people that have had experiences where they went after that supplement, didn't get it, and then they're caught. And there's those weird scenarios. And obviously, you know, you can't really use Harvey as an example because that situation had so many outliers that were so abnormal.
That's a one-off.
Exactly.
No doubt about it. But there is a way you have to present it also to be able to get approved.
Yeah.
And that's something with experience that we've learned over the years. It has to be documented properly.
Right.
Yeah. And it takes a little bit of work to make sure you get that documentation.
Right.
But if you can send that to the adjuster with all your T's crossed and I's dotted, it usually gets through just like that.
Okay.
It's not a problem. And a picture's worth a thousand words.
Yeah. Exactly. I was going to say, it goes back to this again because it has its faults, as we know, but it also, it's got its bonuses. And that is one when it comes to truly having stuff about your own house and your own property. You know, we do, which I've been hammering on y'all for years on the commercial side to do more of that stuff. But like on our commercial side,
we're trying,
we're going to keep trying and we'll keep kicking y'all in the rear on that. But the ones we've had, like Guarantee Builders is a group we've done work with for years. That's really high end on commercial stuff. But when they send stuff off, there's such a wide range of products that we get on the flooring side because they may have been down for a long time. It may have asbestos. It may have other type of adhesives that were used that are going to change the way demos.
Not the A word.
Hell yeah. So yeah, we won't even cross that one. Yeah. But we've got all these different things that I tell. We do a lot more, I think, battling back and forth on those to make sure that we're accurate on what they're getting an accurate number from what they're being awarded on. Because when it comes to the demo aspect and things like that, you're sitting there scraping glue that's been down for 18 years and it's not coming off, and you have to mediate that in some capacity. It's a whole different labor. Ball game. And it's
insurance only gave you a dollar for it.
Well, right. to quote Darren, that estimate is a living estimate.
Yeah.
You know, just because it says demo is $1.65,
right.
That's you have no idea what you're pulling up.
Right.
Well, that's what's funny you said that, because I went through a whole ordeal at my parents, and the podcasters probably heard this plenty of times, but 13 pipes busted. Water everywhere.
I don't remember getting a phone call.
You guys were up to your neck with work. I texted Kurt. He's like, you better find somebody else, because they're topped off. Like, they're just busy.
This is also a good example story of why he should have called y'all.
Yeah, exactly.
This works in your favor.
But in what you guys are saying is, as a consumer, you have to document everything. Supplemental has to be documented properly. Yeah. You're doing the insurance's job for them to say, looks good. We'll prove it. Mm-hmm. In our case, we had to go through the whole ordeal, pipes, walls, I mean, documenting my dad's records, you know, mm-hmm. stuff that I didn't even know how to value. Old record players, how do I get the price for that? And I had to do all of that on my own.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
On top of managing the projects, making sure they're doing it right. And then they hadn't updated their house since 92.
Wow. You know, okay.
We're getting... a dollar per light bulb, and they're saying, oh, well, you're now getting new light bulbs. That's way too updated.
Yeah.
It's like, well, how do you update?
Well, that
92?
Goes back to my comment. You would have a team behind you.
Yeah.
You felt alone at that point. You had to, you know, do all the legwork. We have the bodies, you know, to accommodate that.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we do. I mean,
in that scenario, and we see that a lot, you know, when again, none of this we want to have happen, but you have a homeowner that's maybe elderly, maybe by themselves, or maybe even an older couple that's by themselves, and they haven't done an update, and the house is kind of, it is what it is, and it's probably been that way for sometimes maybe up to 30 years.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's what works for them. But when these situations happen for that, where you've got like a older items in the house like that, where do y'all come in on assisting with the aspect of how to value the different things
costs,
if they're not updated type deals?
So ITEL is actually a good way to lead into that question.
Okay.
So let's say you get the carpet, you send it in, it is, you get the price right on it, you go to replace it, it's not available anymore.
Yeah.
Kind of like what you're talking about right now. Well, that's when you pick up the phone, communicate with the adjuster, let them know, send them documentation saying that, hey, this isn't available anymore. It cannot be repaired.
This is where discontinued items become a big factor.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a big point. Well, yeah.
And that's where you communicate with that adjuster, let them know it's discontinued. Instead of doing a repair that matches all your other carpet in the room, they pretty much will replace everything in line of sight that goes all through the hallways, doorways, that type stuff. Okay. And that's something we do every day. Matter of fact, that's one of our biggest challenges.
We see that a lot with cabinets in situations, you know, that pickled
makes
finish.
Sense.
You know, they don't have that anymore, so it's a discontinued item.
Yeah.
So that's why we have to go back and get it, you know, replaced for the uppers or lowers, you know, depending on what's in the SPM.
And match the value that you think it should be at that point.
Because they owe today's value on it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the question I had. I mean, I went back and forth. I dealt with the adjuster one-on-one. I did the app, you know, you take pictures, submit everything, you're doing everything through the app.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to now, we've maybe been 2-3 years since we did this project. Cost of insurance has gone up, inflation's gone up, everything's gone up. But I'm looking in hindsight and saying, well, where'd that inflation go when we were doing the project? Because now you're valuing everything lower, knowing inflation's in place. What happens with the values after inflation? Are you guys getting more funds?
I don't know if this is going to answer your question or not, but give you whether it's a big screen TV or a computer. You know, you buy one today for, you know, $1,300. It's the latest and greatest. Look at what that price is next year. Same TV.
Yeah.
Now it's $600.
Yeah.
You know, it's still the latest and greatest, or still a great picture. So it goes back to what Darren was saying. They're going to give you the cost of today's cost. Now, my best advice, especially when it comes to content,
because nobody's going to like that answer. That's the problem.
That's always the biggest drawback.
Well, listen to this. You know, on the contents aspect, when you're doing your total inventory, okay, and you're flipping through, you know, Best Buy sheets trying to price out what your DVD player was, don't put the sales price, okay? Because the moment you get the check, the sale's probably going to be over. Put the retail price of it on there.
Right.
Because, you know, we see this a lot, especially around Black Friday. You know, customers are trying to price this thing out, and they're going through the ads. And, well, here it is right here. It's the same one. It's $150 today.
Right.
But when you go to buy it, when they finally give you your check, it's probably back to $225.
100%.
So price it at $225.
Well, and that's where supplements come in also.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's true.
So if they paid you $200 for an item, and you went and actually purchased that same item for $250, mm-hmm. send them the receipt.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll pay the difference.
Supplemental stuff is what tripped me up because I didn't know you could do that.
It's a lot of work.
And we thought we were short the whole time.
His case is one that makes me ask the question because, like, there are – there are people that take on this entire project by themselves.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think we've illustrated, in my opinion, very accurately why they should call fire reconstruction in these situations as opposed to doing that. But there's still those people out there that go back and do all that stuff. So to give a clear answer, I want to go back to the aspect of that person that just had the claim and everything. And I really want to harp on the fact that you have to understand when you have people that are literally trained to do this every day. Y'all's experience is 20 plus years personally of going through all this stuff. It doesn't make sense to try to do things on your own because in those situations, your attempt to save a buck will cost you a buck.
100%.
And that's what we have a lot. You know, look, Floor & Decor is a battle for us. Okay. The box stores are a battle and you can get away with some things that you can do on your own in some scenarios, but the craftsmanship that comes with doing it correctly with guys that know what they're doing, and that can be floors, that can be cabinets, countertops, paint, whatever it may be. But that is the value that we're trying to explain to anybody that's listening as to why, and again, we hope you don't have to call fire reconstruction, but if the situation comes, we do want you to call because doing these things on your own, even when it comes to the paperwork side, it's an enormous task. And you have a life to live at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, and that's what makes A to Z important.
Yes.
Doing everything. Because if you start getting multiple contractors in there, you start getting a different company to do the mitigation versus this and this, there's always finger pointing.
Right.
Yep.
And guess what? If we can handle the whole situation for you, there's only one person to point the finger at.
Correct.
Yep. There's a mistake, we're going to take care of it.
Correct.
So that's part of construction.
Next flood, hurricane, I'm calling you guys.
I appreciate that.
I don't want to call you.
I learned that. Well, that's the thing is I learned that lesson, and you know my parents are older. This is at my parents' house, so they don't speak very good English. So how would they have done it? I wouldn't have. I don't know. I'm glad I helped them.
It is. And a lot of, especially your elderly people, they're not real don't have all the technology to turn all that stuff in.
We still run into that all the time with the elderly. You know, they don't do emails. They don't do this. So we have to physically go have meetings to have things signed for. So, but we accommodate that. That's, you know, that's all part of the package.
Oh, yeah. And you have to spend more time and explain. I mean, a big part of our job is educating our customer on how this process works.
That's a good point. Right. Yeah.
Huge.
I have a quick question before you get into that, Kurt. Have y'all ever had people just take the money and run?
No, that doesn't happen, does it?
So, to answer that question, yes, we have. We always joke about there's a 95%, 5% rule. I think you've heard me say
one of y'all's. Yeah. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
What's that rule? 95-5?
So 95% of the people are great people, great customers. They're like you and I. There's 5% out there always trying to make a buck, trying to work the system, trying to buck the system.
Yeah.
And hey, you know, you're just going to run into that. It's part of business. It's going to happen.
On top of that, you were claiming that, you know, Floor & Decor and box stores, you know, the thorn in your side on that side. Ours is the DIY channel because they see that this project took 30 minutes.
That's right.
But why is it taking 2 weeks on our side? Yeah. Well,
reality of things.
We had one of our builders in last year. Actually, I think it was our first or second podcast we did. And that was the thing that was their biggest challenge. It's at the same time, you know, they're sitting there, in a reconstruction that's a true remodel, not in a situation like y'all's, obviously. It was funny because I will say as a side note that they obviously had a lot of houses that came through from Harvey and stuff like that, but they're like, we're getting out of dealing with this insurance bullshit. It ain't happening no more. Like, we're going to go back to just people calling us for a remodel and doing this. We don't want to jack with this stuff anymore. And I will say I had worked with them on kind of going through some of this stuff to work through the insurance sheets and all that stuff. But you know, just the whole interaction process with a customer when they get in this situation is the part that I'm really kind of harping on, because like I say, you can, like I'll say it, you can go in Floor and Decor and there may be one or two people in there that really know what they need to know in the industry to truly help somebody out. We've got a whole team that's here. Y'all have a whole team that's there.
Yeah.
And in anything in construction, like I say, the 95 and 5 thing has always rung true, because, you know, in most cases, we're not fighting, you know, major disasters every single day. It's ebb and flow of business, but it is that 5% that'll absolutely just beat your ass.
And yeah, that's right.
And that's the part that does make it a challenge from time to time. And so with customers themselves, and Enrique had asked about, you know, just taking the money and run.
Well, we had to deal with that with the no names. we had to deal with that when we were going out and doing leads for a company.
Yeah.
And a lot of the leads never called they back.
Took a check and roll.
They took check and roll.
Which is why we got out of the program, because, you know, at that point, those particular customers.
We got a lot of 5%ers.
They were the 5%ers.
Yeah.
And they took the money, and it was one of those situations where there was all the people in there were just trying to take out of the situation to get cash, and I don't care. I don't think they cared if they even got their house put back together.
We've seen that.
Well, and another thing to touch on about the insurance process, what insurance companies do, if it's a substantial loss, or not even that substantial, it can be $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. You probably know this going through this loss, they depreciate things.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the fail-safe that makes people do the repairs and do them properly. Now, you still have some people that refuse to understand that, and they just take off, and they cost themselves money because they're going to depreciate it. And until you actually purchase that product or do that repair, you don't get that depreciation back.
Right.
Those are replacement cost policies, which most people have.
Right.
And
that was a nice little bonus, the depreciation after the end of it. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, actually, everything's here, so this is what you guys are getting back.
Exactly. And that's we usually get the depreciation back on the structure side once we finish the repair.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there may be, you know, some of these larger fires and stuff like that, there may be $100,000 in depreciation that we don't see till the end. And we actually have to – we pay for everything
as
we go. We foot the bill.
Yeah.
But it also – it also makes us do things right and makes the customer do things right too.
Well, keep this in mind since we're talking about depreciation. It's a general rule of thumb, 10% a year, but that's not a guaranteed. If you show proof that you bought it, you know, sooner than that, or you can negotiate it, how long you've had it, depreciation is negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whether it's contents or structure. So just if your listeners are listening, keep that in mind.
Okay.
I think a lot of people are just afraid to go back and forth with insurance
companies. They are.
And that's where you guys come in.
That's what we do.
That's the biggest part of all
that. We'll go toe-to-toe.
Yeah. I mean, they're scared of the word deductible. They're scared of the word depreciation. They're scared of the all these things.
They're scared of actual cash value.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The terms scare them a lot of times because they don't have an understanding about where they apply to them specifically on their all this you have to keep in mind, these houses, and these are all fingerprints. Every single one is different. Mm-hmm. And that's like when y'all go in, we may have the same floor plan in a neighborhood, but it's decorated with two completely different deals. So if both of them flood the same way, it's still going to be two completely different claims.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their
different
own
values.
I've seen the same house over the years, and I'm like, to your point, the same exact floor plan, same exact builder, pretty much the same exact loss, a water loss that flooded the same areas. We've done it so long. I've seen a couple of those.
Yeah.
One claim may be $30,000. The same exact one may be $65,000.
Yeah.
Because of what they have put inside that house.
Correct.
You know, different flooring.
Which goes back to documenting.
Or how they document it. That's what they say. That's the most important that I learned.
That's exactly right.
Documentation is the key.
That's all about.
So I'm gonna throw something on the table for y'all. So Dylan, open your ears. This will be good for you. So people want to know about, like I say, we've discussed the process of all this, and we've gone, like, when people have this situation, if it comes up, and how they call y'all and how you go through the whole thing. Have y'all done anything on y'all social medias to document how you go through this process so people can physically see it? Like, this is, y'all are going to get this whole thing, be able to take it and post it so people can hear you two specifically talking about all this.
So,
but having the vision, that's one of the things we've done with all this. Now, since they've been helping us and doing more of this, is the visuals of, you know, before and after is part of it, but I think what's even more important than before and after is process.
Yeah.
And that involves for y'all, like for us, the process aspect is generally, you know, maybe it's while they're shopping in here and then we're out there doing demo and install. But y'all's has those, the interactions, talking with your estimator, value on site, when y'all have the crews go out there to physically do the cleaning, especially in a fire situation, mm-hmm. all that stuff, to the crates or the vaults at the
packouts,
all that stuff. If I'm a customer and I see something like that, there's, I mean, obviously I'm biased because I wouldn't call anybody else in that situation, but that would give me the reason to go to that way. Have y'all done any part of anything like that on y'all social stuff?
Very small. What's and it's actually part of our business plan in the next 2 years. We've talked about having a bigger social media presence and start trying to have maybe even a blog to educate customers on these things that we're talking about. Yeah. And we're kind of not the most forward-thinking technology guys. Well, we're construction guys.
And it's hard to advertise for something like this. I mean, how do you advertise when you have a fire? How do you know I'm going to have
a
fire?
And that's what we're saying. Like, and we see some of the companies that do advertise that kind of stuff, and I get why they do, but it's really like it just kind of turns you off almost. You don't really want to do that. But I think when people see...
If I saw a how-to of, like he's saying, step-by-step of what to do.
Well, it's funny you brought that up because we actually are working on it now.
Oh.
And
we're revamping our website, you know, to include a lot of these features you're talking about. So it's coming. It's still a beautiful website. Check it out. Yeah. I think it's FireReconstructionInc.com.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But check it out. It's got a lot more information than even we're giving you right now.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's one of the deals that we've seen as a big benefit from this is basically – you know, the guys getting to a job site. You know, we had one of our installers come on, Isidro, who does a lot of our carpet. He does some of the vinyl plank and laminate and does some commercial stuff for us. But what we had him do is physically talk through what he does on the day of an installation. And we got a lot of really good response to it because he was like, he went all the way down to, I get to the house, I knock on the door, I walk the house with the customer.
Awesome. That's great.
I asked them what furniture they are good, feel comfortable with us moving in certain rooms. Like he does all that before the carpet and pad ever come off the truck.
Yeah.
And so hearing that part of everything, you know, from that whole deal, and that's something that we've done in some of the videos with these guys is physically seeing how that whole part works. And I think, you know, look, everybody has trepidation when workers come in their house
in
some capacity.
Yes.
We already know that going in. So the whole goal of what we've been trying to do with this part of what's being seen on job sites is trying to put their mind at ease. Like, look, construction is construction. It's not pretty all the time. Some things are going to get messed up. We've all been doing this too long to think that every job is perfect. It's not reality. But if we can just show what we're trying to do in the process, it puts everybody kind of at a little more ease in some capacity. Because, again, it's something we can't combat is what's out there online about other contractors and stuff.
I preach this in our office all the time. Set the job up for success.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not easy.
No.
It's not just making sure you're painting something right, making sure you're ordering the right cabinet. It's not that. It's educating the customer on the difficult part of the restoration thing.
Right.
You know, hey, this is going to be tough. You're going to have a lot of communication. This is what's going to happen at this time. You're going to have this. You're going to have this. And there's variables that go along with that. And it's constant communication.
Yeah. Yep.
I would like to keep this conversation going, or maybe come back one day and let's add some more to it.
I think that's
definitely
a it would. I would see a good opportunity to collaborate with your other trades because they can all tell a story the same way we are with how this works. Like, you know, we're going to do the floors, but somebody's going to do the cabinets first, and somebody's going to do the baseboards first, and you're probably going to have a first run of paint before that comes in. So all these situations are coming together. All this stuff being out there for people to see it about your company prior to it happening, that's where the advantage – like we've had great response to this stuff that we've been doing simply because it's showing people what to expect in some capacity. Yep. We're actually going to film at my brother and sister-in-law's house on Monday with an install. Simple deal, whole house of carpet. Carpet was original to the house. Had a dog that was there for a long time that passed. They've got another dog that's a maniac and causes problems all over the place.
So
we're doing one of the new pet protection carpets. But we're going to show, like, what we what that process is. Like, we had a Cedro who's doing the insulation talk about it all here, and he did a great job of it. But now we're going to physically see that entire deal, and we're going to pull up a room of carpet, and everybody's going to get to see what's underneath there, because we've seen surprises in those deals and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's not always pretty.
No, it's not. So, I mean, we're going to go through all that process so people understand this is how they manipulate the furniture as they go room to room. Like, a lot of people are amazed that we can actually do like a house full of carpet in a day with moving all that stuff. Yeah. But the guys are so methodical, just like all the other trades y'all work with. Everybody knows how that part goes. But if you don't experience on a daily basis, you have no clue how these guys are going to go about that. So this kind of gives that guidance to where if we have a customer coming up and they go, you know, what should we expect when the guys come to put carpet in? Okay, hey, go watch this video that we've got. That
makes sense.
And then you'll know, you know, because I think we're doing five separate rooms in the house. Like, there's going to be a lot of moving and shaking.
Lots of furniture moving.
Exactly.
Lots of all
beds, like, the preparation, what we're telling them to do and all that stuff, and kind of walk through it. So I just, from y'all's standpoint, I would love to collaborate with maybe the other trades about how the sequence of everything goes when y'all are actually putting a job together.
Yeah, I'd love to. Let's educate these people. Definitely.
I think it would be something to have both as y'all get your social media stuff moving more and more. It would be an easy deal to do, and you know, anybody that's in that process, you just go, here's the video.
Customers know what to expect.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They have no idea.
Y'all's is even more involved than ours in reality to take them through the whole process.
Yeah.
So
yeah, especially with all the various vendors you have to get in there.
Well, that's as he was talking. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, that's going to be a. It's going to be a challenge for us to, you know, piecemeal together to get the framing, get the roofing, get everything kind of laid out, you know, appropriately.
We thought that some of that stuff would be challenges too, but I'll give these guys a plug over here.
So they do a great job.
Those guys
have been doing
and really just showing piece by piece on all that stuff with how. Again, what people expect the second that our guys walk through the door.
Yeah.
Y'all's is just more involved because we're talking through the first part of the remediation and the cleanup and all that kind of stuff. So
that's phenomenal. And you guys mentioned vendors and subcontractors and that type of stuff too. And I think a thing that separates fire reconstruction and Buffalo flooring and stuff when it comes to actually doing the job is we're just not pulling guys off the street to do the work.
Correct.
Yeah.
By any means.
Yeah.
These guys have been with us for years. Some of them I've known before we started fire reconstruction.
Right. Yeah.
And that's
true.
Yeah.
And as a homeowner, that's who you want in your house is when you've got that knowledge of who it is that's coming in. Because that's what's combating these other rumors that we have to fight.
Absolutely.
That is right. Because everybody has the preconceived notion that contractors aren't good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they're going to use the cheapest labor. They're going to go grab them off of Home Depot's parking lot.
Exactly.
That is not true.
I think you can't ever stop explaining that to customers.
I know.
That you cannot
I wish
stop
I could
that.
Be honest with them and be like, actually doing that is a pain in my ass.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'd rather just get the guys to do it right, pay them and then get it done right.
Let's be fair here. I mean, I'm going to actually have the warranty for your project.
Exactly.
Why would I use somebody I don't trust?
That's our whole deal.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. We've, you know, but you have to just, you get a new wave of customers every year. You go back and re-preach it again as to why it's important.
But that's why the videos help.
Yeah.
Because then you have to eventually,
if you could point and click to that one spot on your website or wherever it is and go, hey, go to this one spot.
Take a look
spot.
At that guy.
This is what
that same
happened.
Guy's going to be out there.
Exactly. That's why it's great.
My
for
age group is, that's why when I had to deal with this, if I had a rubric or a guide, like what he's saying from you guys, it would have been easy.
Yeah. We do have, and I don't know if you've ever seen this. I'll send it to you, Kurt, but we did do an interview with a customer. She had a large fire.
Yes.
And she kind of went from start to finish on what she went through and what we did.
Oh,
that's good. And kind of what to expect and try to give some heads up to other customers. Yeah. And we do use that video quite often to try to educate people.
That was a large fire.
Yeah, and that was I remember the video. And that's essentially the baseline for what – you know, like we say, every house is a fingerprint. So there's different versions of how those things go. And that's what, like with the different installs we've been having these guys take videos of so they can see, hey, this is a wood install. This is what you expect. This is
correct.
A carpet. This is what you expect, that kind of deal. So when we talk about what we expect on job sites, we're also going to talk real quick about what we don't expect. And so
we go to our
closing is generally circled around situation, especially when we have guys that are in the industry like we are from the construction side. You know, we've had everything from people hiding in houses while measurements to dead snakes under the carpet.
The dead man in the commercial space.
The dead man in the commercial space. We've had a lot. So
well, yeah. I think I've been through all those y'all just mentioned.
Yeah.
Well, the dead man was a Sidro telling us about the tools they use.
It's a tool called a dead man.
They call it the dead man. So him and his helper were on a job site, and he yells. He's on the top flight, and he's downstairs. He's like, hey, grab the dead man.
Oh,
is the dead man up there?
All the guys working on the job site did
all the other trades. Could you imagine?
We may have topped that one.
They all hauled ass out of there.
Do you imagine the electrician working on something? Like in the background, he hears, is that dead man up there?
Yeah,
like,
I'm out.
What? Yeah. That's the last one I'm doing.
Y'all've got the proverbial floor here. So that's the next spot here. So it happens. We run into. We say they're funny after they happened, maybe not during.
No, absolutely not during, yeah.
We went viral for the cop story. That they towed the cop's wife's car, and turns out she was doing an afternoon delight.
Oh, nice.
Met up with the other cop's friend.
Yeah.
He never knew.
Well, that's what's funny about our industry and what we do. A lot of the things that you see on the news or stories of, you know, the fire or why the fire happened, we got the rest of the story.
Exactly.
You know,
and it's not always
part A.
Yeah. I mean, there was one, again, no names, but there was one down south, I believe it was Sugar Land, and it was a shootout between police officers and the tenant, not the actual building owner house owner. It was a tenant. When I went out there to meet with, my project manager, I didn't know this information. So as we're walking through, I'm looking at the garage door. I'm like, how did they put a hole right here? What were they trying to hit it with? And that's when the homeowner said, no, that was the tenant firing out of the garage at the fire at the police officers.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Okay. It's not a hammer. It was a gun.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
See some crazy ones. Some crazy ones. And personal stories, too, of just doing the jobs. Heck, back during Katrina. This is way back during Katrina. We went on the road. We had to. We were asked by a lot of different companies because we're pretty much known as being some of the experts in our industry to go evaluate some of these large buildings. And we're all the way through Louisiana and Mississippi and that type of stuff. And it's me, Travis, and Dave running through there looking at these buildings and sharing a hotel room.
Oh, boy.
two double beds. Of course, Dave is quite a bit older than we are, so we gave him his own bed, and Travis and I had to share a double bed. And
to
this day, my wife says I still sleep like I'm in a coffin, you know. And I mean, I'm straight and narrow when I sleep just like this because I slept next to Travis for a month and a half. And
yeah, I get
and
comfortable,
Travis
man.
Is a damn snuggler.
That's where you put the pillows in between y'all.
Man, a pillow wall, whatever it took. I think I ended up sleeping in the bathtub.
Darren and I had to share a hotel room when his son was playing at University of Texas. And we made the decision in about the fourth inning that we were going to stay. I had work up there. It kind of worked in where Texas was playing Stanford. It just kind of all fell into place.
Tuesday night game.
Tuesday night. And we just decided, I think we'll just stay here. And long story short, hotels.com's pictures are not accurate.
No.
And we ended up in a place over there on 35 in Austin, right south of Dish Fog. And when we walked in, we walked down a hallway that was probably just short of about 2 miles and finally got to our room. At the very far end of the deal, there's a young lady laid out in the floor in the hallway crying on the phone with somebody.
With some kind of bottle next to her and a bag of McDonald's.
Exactly. So she was having her
necessities.
Chicken nuggets.
Doesn't sound like a happy meal.
And her Captain Morgan's. So we go into our room to drop our stuff off so we could go meet his son Mason after the game. And lo and behold, like right in the middle of the hotel room is a bathtub.
And not a bathtub? Not off to in the corner.
No.
Separated by walls. There is a full self-standing bathtub dead center in the middle of the room.
Ooh, honeymoon suite, man.
Kurt grabbed my shoulder. And Kurt's a pretty big boy, and I took off running.
Had some chocolates on the bed.
I was going to say, was the bed heart-shaped? Was the bed heart-shaped?
That was a long hallway to run back down, I'm telling you.
I can tell you I wasn't in that room too long.
No.
By any means, but that's a true story. Grief.
No, the hotel stories are always the funniest. We have one within our company that happened at our market meetings that we've decided that we've kept off the air for the most part, but the road stories are generally the best when you're out there doing that stuff, as opposed to sticking your hand through a wall of sheetrock and finding God knows what on the other side.
Oh yeah,
like say there's that some of these the biggest thing is on these demos nowadays is when you find these houses that were built like between like the late 90s and probably 2008-ish or somewhere in there when the houses were just cranking. And those guys were just rolling through those things 1,000 miles an hour. And you go into the interior of the house and you open up a wall into some dead space and it's just full of trash.
We still see that
full
to the day.
Trash. Yeah. That's the thing we see still all the
Coke
time.
Coke cans, McDonald's vintage cups. Coke cans.
Especially the ones where we're doing, if we tear down a whole master bathroom, we're redoing showers and stuff like that, where you've got a couple dead space areas and you look in there. Bags of Cokes and bags of Cheetos Coke cans and the whole thing. And the people are wondering why they've had ants that can't be solved.
Yeah.
Why do I have an extermination bill of $200 a month?
Oh, yeah.
And I can't figure out where they're coming from. Well, I know where they're coming from. It's because that's what's in these walls of these places. And we see.
And it's not uncommon.
No, it's not uncommon.
But by any means.
Would you rather, this will be our last deal, would you rather, again, somebody has this situation, we don't want it to happen, but look, we get into it. But because of construction of houses, would you rather do a remediation on a house that was built in the 60s or 2024?
2024.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's some give and take to that story, but overall, definitely 2024.
We get different answers to that. That's why I ask.
Well, and my biggest thing is we deal with code a lot.
Yeah.
So most of your 2024 is already up to code. Yeah. So you don't have to. That's a whole process that we get to skip.
Correct.
And it's a little more efficient build.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
We get the reason why some will say the 60s outside the code deals, they feel like if they're in a sheetrock repair situation that the internal framing is done better.
It is.
Straighter.
There's no doubt of it. The lumber back then is better.
Well, you may have asbestos to contend with.
That's true, too.
Well, 60s. That's true, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously challenges with
lead
both.
Paint.
But that's one
of them. We don't shy away from either one of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, to answer his question, I'd back him with the 24 if given the opportunity.
It's a more efficient process because most of your materials are available.
Yeah.
You're not having to try to replace something or go back. There's not as many supplements in that type of stuff. But either one, we do it all.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, and to close out, let's talk about growth, because y'all have got a deal that's just kind of happened here in the last few months that we've gotten to go on board with y'all, moving towards Bryan College Station as a new area. So just background is Fire Reconstruction handles everything greater Houston and
surrounding.
We're taking that word beyond maybe a little bit further now, but we're physically, y'all are in an office in a small warehouse there in, it is technically Bryan.
It's in Bryan.
Just north of the Texas A&M campus. Great little spot that's there. I got to see it here back in early December. But tell us about that venture and what got y'all to that part.
We kept getting calls from that area, and we didn't service that area. And kept getting the same story over and over. There's no one up here that we trust. You know, it's back of the truck. It's taillight warranty kind of guys that you hear. And so Travis, Jeff, and myself kept talking about it and hats off to Jeff. He was the one that pushed this.
Yeah.
And
shout out to Jeff again.
Yep. So, and I wish you could get better Jeff
shout
on.
Out. Better shout out than the one I was going to give him.
But he, so we decided, we've been working on it for about a year and a half, and we opened the doors up just a couple months ago. We're actually going to have a grand opening ribbon cutting next week.
Nice.
And okay. Then a Chamber of Commerce deal and so forth and so on here in the next couple weeks. But, it's a service that's needed up there. Yeah. Those people need a good contractor or a good remediation, good mitigation, and we're there to offer it now. Yeah. And, man, it's taken off faster than I could ever.
It's a great, you know, other than the university that occupies the town, I'm a fan of everything else about College Station.
So. you know where my loyalty lies, and I'm the same way. But it's a great people up there.
And the way that they've done the neighborhoods and everything up there, and just the way that I told you this when you and I first had the conversation about it, I said it's not going to take long for the spreading of the word to go, because we've seen it in not just the jobs that we've done with y'all up there already, but with a couple other things we've had up there, especially where student housing is, and the and people that own like a smaller little 3-2 bedroom where they've got three college kids living there and stuff. That's a big deal. And the people that own several of those, it's college kids. They're remodeling them every couple of years. They're moving on that kind of stuff, and there is a big market for that. And so we've had some good success with those. We've done we did one of the did a bunch of carpet at one of the new student housing deals that's out on the west side of College Station. Really nice new townhome type deal. But then in behind those townhomes, there's a bunch of just little starter home type of things. It's full of college kids.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of those rental properties like that. And it's
well, one of the ones we're doing for y'all, I think, is a college.
So we've
been having the conversation about the Brenham, College Station, Bryan, all the way up through Hearn, that whole area for the last couple of years. And so we have a salesperson that's up there full time that's handling everything that we have up that direction. So that's for anyone that's listening that has friends and family up that direction, definitely serviced. And again, we don't want you to have the situation where you have to call our guys at Fire Reconstruction, but that is who you call if we're up there.
Definitely. And what took us so long to get it off the ground up there, because this has been in the works for a year and a half, couple of years talking about it, was My biggest fear always is not being able to service a customer.
True.
So we took a year and made sure we had the right people in place. You guys for the flooring, at which plugged a Buffalo flooring too.
Yeah,
they're one of the best. No doubt about it. That's when we use them. And we got those people in place, pulled the trigger, and it's went off.
Yeah.
Without a hiccup so far.
So far, so good. And
we're being able to service the customers. Things are going well, and we support it from our Houston office every once in a while. But for the most part, it's on its own up there.
That's good. Well, I think that's what helped too, is having our SOP solid here locally.
True.
Prior to spreading our wings at other cities.
Right.
I mean, that's helped tremendously, because we haven't changed the system one for College Station versus us.
Right.
They're identical.
Yeah.
Other than the size, they're identical.
Yeah, ours is the same. You mentioned the website earlier, FireReconstructionInc.com.
Yes.
We'll do a bunch of cross-posting on that stuff, so y'all get hit on all that stuff. That's what Dylan and Alex, our guys, do the best. I hope this helps. I think it does. And if you're a listener,
this was fun, man.
If you're a listener, this is a no-brainer to take this information. Like I say, I know we've harped on it a bunch, but the aspect of not really wanting to ever have to deal with these guys, but when the situation calls, they are the ones to deal with. We're biased. We like our customers that do what these guys do, but they're the best, and we're very excited to be able to have this. But we also want to continue the aspect of the collaboration of what we may be able to do, and maybe get these gentlemen involved on taking the people through more of a visual part of the process to help out. And then again, I want them to see y'all's people. I want to see the people at your office.
Yeah,
I want to see the warehouse. I want them to see, you know, where everybody kind of comes into play in the whole process, because I think it's something that people don't have a lot of knowledge of, because people don't maybe put it out there as a fancy deal, because like you say, it's kind of one of those things we really don't want to have to deal with. But when you do, you better know dang sure and well who you're dealing with and how their process works.
Well, I'll say it again, we're an open book. I mean, these are 2/3 of the owners sitting right here.
Yeah.
You know, the other one couldn't make it today, but yeah, there's, I mean, we're not hiding.
We invite all our customers up to our shop. Right. We actually like to bring them in the conference
room. We love that.
Sit them down and put their estimate up, you know, on the big TV and
break it down.
Break it down and go through and try to overcome any questions they may have, so forth and so on. And it works tremendously.
Well, at the end of the day, it's still a team effort. You know, you know, it's just because we have all the knowledge and you know, people behind us, we still work hand in hand with that customer to accomplish the same goal. Yeah.
Right. So, well, this, like I say, the education aspect of everything from the policies and from the verbiage and all that kind of stuff, I think this is going to be one that gets a lot of traction because it's just simple. It's stuff that people, I think they're scared of. Let's be honest. I don't want my house to flood. Neither do y'all.
No.
Even as the owners of a company that can fix it. I don't want to have to rechange all my floors. I can, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
And when you're in those situations, when you understand that people do have a trepidation about having to come and work with you in the first place, you already know that your first priority is care and putting them at ease and trying to really calm the nerves as they go through the process. And I know from being on multiple job sites with y'all's entire team, it's a no-brainer if you're ever in the situation of where you go. So
yeah. Having someone in their corner is a must.
Yep.
Yeah. You know?
It puts them at ease. That's all we want. Yep. So that's going to wrap us today.
Yep.
I lose track every time what number this is, what is.
I think this is episode 12.
Is that right, Dylan? Okay.
Lucky 12.
Yeah.
I always have to remind Kurt what episode we're on.
I don't
10,
know.
10, 11.
You need to skip Tuesday. 13.
Yeah, we'll go back to 14.
We will skip 13.
We'll skip 13. We'll probably every microphone will blow and everything else. We'll have completely wrong. Dylan's camera.
15 trains will come through.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So we'll have this posted soon. A lot of information on Fire Reconstruction as a whole. We'll have all their socials, website, everything. Take a look on there. Get familiar with them. The more you get familiar with them, maybe you won't have to use them. But if you do, then you know you got the right people. So we thank y'all for joining. We'll have a couple new scheduled episodes coming up here in the next couple weeks. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you guys.
Thank you.